Astor presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Astor Screen Guild play tonight, The Last of Mrs. Cheney. The starring players...
This is Joan Fontaine.
This is Alan Marshall.
This is Nigel Bruce.
And this is Gerald Moore.
Tonight, Lady Astor presents the Screen Guild players in a delightful romantic comedy based on the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, The Last of Mrs. Cheney. It stars Joan Fontaine as Mrs. Cheney, Alan Marshall as Arthur Dilling, Nigel Bruce as Lord Kelton, and Gerald Moore as Charles. The Lady Astor Screen Guild players in The Last of Mrs. Cheney. Frankly, there hadn't been anything like it since Cornwallis hauled down his flag at Yorktown. The lovely young American, Mrs. Fay Cheney, had apparently captured all of London. Well, anyway, all of London that counts, including the handsome young Lord Arthur Dilling and his bluff old aunt, the Duchess of Ebley.
I say, Arthur, that Mrs. Cheney...
Yes?
Don't marry her, will you?
I won't, I promise.
Thanks. She's much too good for you.
It began with a casual meeting on the boat coming over. But Faye Cheney's youth and beauty and bright American ways soon had all the best people flocking to her house. On this particular day, it's been a gala affair, a charity auction with Faye herself, the auctioneer. And now, as she bids her guests goodbye...
Goodbye, Lord Kelton. I'm so glad you were able to come.
It's a deuced shame, Mrs. Cheney. I thought I'd be able to bid in that doll, the one that looked like you.
The one that Arthur Dilling got?
Would have got it myself if I hadn't been called to the phone just then.
Business, Lord Kelton?
Monkey business. Wasn't anyone on the line. Some sort of trick to get me away. I really wanted that doll. Good likeness of you.
Why worry about the doll? The original is always at your disposal.
I say you're being very kind. I don't know how to express myself. Gratitude and all that.
Don't try.
Faye?
Oh, there you are, my dear.
We were just going.
Oh, Kitty, Joan, do you have to leave?
We've a dinner and theater. We're late now, my dear. Been a wonderful afternoon.
Faye, your house is simply charming. Simply charming.
Mm-hmm. She means your butler. He's too utterly perfect.
Charles is wonderful, isn't he?
If we stay any longer, she'll be trying to steal him. Come along, Joan. Oh, Francis, you coming?
Yes. I'll ring you up, Mrs. Cheney.
Goodbye, Kitty. Goodbye, Joan.
Goodbye.
Don't forget your promise, Lord Kelton.
No, I won't.
Oh, I say, look here.
Oh, you surprised me, Duchess.
Oh, just wanted to tell you I like you a lot.
Oh, you're very kind.
Surprised myself. Lord Dilling is my nephew, you know. Charming fool, but anyone Arthur likes, I usually loathe. Don't loathe you, though.
Well, I'm flattered.
Want you to spend the weekend with me, my country place. And come early. I'll be expecting you.
Oh, thank you. The weekend.
Mrs. Cheney. Oh, madam.
Charles, did you hear her? I need a drink.
We still have a guest, madam.
Who?
Lord Arthur Dilling, madam.
Where?
In the library, madam.
Alone?
Not quite, madam. He has a bottle of brandy.
Arthur, I must admit I'm rather surprised. I thought you'd gone with the others.
My dear Mrs. Cheney, I couldn't. Not without warning you.
Warning me?
That fellow Kelton.
Oh.
Of course, he is rather solid and fabulously rich, but...
But what?
My dear, he's over 50. According to any insurance company, he's 2/3 dead this very minute. Look here, Faye. I rang you up 5 times this week, and each time I was told you were out.
What a shame.
You weren't out?
No, each time I was in.
I thought so.
In fact, twice I told you I was out myself.
May I ask why?
Certainly. I don't care to be alone with you, even on the telephone.
Why not?
Oh, it's my way of paying tribute to your reputation.
Really?
Yes, I've been told you kept more husbands at home than any other man in modern times. Now then, why did you remain here this afternoon?
Oh, it's very simple, really. I wanted to tell you you're the most attractive woman I've ever known.
Hmm. And then?
If that went well, I meant to suggest a little dinner at my flat.
Oh, I see. And if that went well?
I shouldn't have said another word till after the dessert. Of course, now I can never ask you to dine unless we have two bishops present.
Arthur, I do like you. Would you ring the bell?
What for?
Charles will bring you your hat.
Oh, thanks. I'd rather have a drink. Do you mind?
I presume you don't drink with your meals.
Why not?
You drink so much in between.
Look here, Fay. Why can't we...
I beg pardon, my lord. Your hat.
Oh. Oh, yes, my hat. Good afternoon, Mrs. Cheney. Delightful time. Good afternoon, Charles.
Good afternoon, my lord.
Charles, you're really wonderful, darling.
You're not half bad yourself. Getting an invitation from the Duchess of Ebley.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good for a dime store girl from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Have you told Bill and Anna?
I didn't have to. They were eavesdropping as usual. They make very bad servants, I'm afraid.
I suppose they're worried. After all, they've put their last penny into this job, setting me up in this house and all.
Well, they'll make a profit. I understand the Duchess of Ebley's pearls should bring at least £40,000.
And they'd be angry if I didn't get them.
Well, they might be a little difficult. Fay.
Yes, darling?
You don't have to tell me that you like all these people you've met.
Charles, you're getting like Anna. This morning she accused me of running after that lord, the old one.
I wasn't thinking of the old one, my dear. Fay, if you'd like to chuck the whole thing, why...
Nonsense. You don't think I'd let you down?
No. No, you'd never let anyone down.
Very well, then. I spend the weekend with the Duchess of Ebley. An English country garden on a summer night. Is there anything lovelier than this, Lord Kelton?
Well, it's pretty enough, I dare say. Too crowded, though.
Oh, shall I go inside?
Oh, I say, I didn't mean you. Referring to all those people the Duchess asked for the weekend. That fella Dilling and Willie and Kitty and her cousin, John.
Is John really her cousin?
Well, if he is, she has the largest family in England. Cousins all over the place. Willie's going to wake up someday.
Oh, that's too bad. I don't think a wife should ever act that way.
I had a notion that's how you felt. I say, do you mind if I call you Fay?
Not at all, Francis.
Well, what I'm trying to say is I've got a townhouse in London, a country seat in Kent.
In Kent?
400 acres. A shooting box in Scotland, 50,000 acres. Am I getting intimate?
Not too intimate.
Well, what I mean, I own the largest woolen mills in the north.
And you wear silk hose. How extravagant.
I've got a few bonds put away, about a million, I think. And it's awfully difficult to say, you know.
Perhaps you'd better not try to say it.
Well, I must try to write it. Much better at writing. Write a letter to the London Times almost every day.
Well, if that happens to be your special talent, I think maybe...
Miss Cheney, I beg your pardon, madam.
Yes?
You're wanted on the telephone, madam.
The telephone? Oh, yes, thanks.
Oh, you're quite welcome, madam.
Lord Kelton, Francis, you'll excuse me?
Oh, I say, look here, Fay. You won't think me very wicked if I... slip a note under your door.
Not at all. I'll be looking for it. Good night. Hello? 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 No one on the line. That's strange.
Why?
Oh, you.
Sorry to use such a threadbare device, but the end justifies the means.
Really, Arthur, I'm in no mood.
Wait, don't go. There's something I've got to say to you.
Well, all right. Say it.
I love you, Fay. Will you marry me?
Please, Arthur, I think...
You didn't accept Kelton, did you?
What makes you think he asked?
Well, did you refuse him?
Can't we discuss this some other time? Really, Arthur, I'm so tired...
I'm terribly sorry, but we've got to settle this. Remember the bishop who was coming to dinner? Well, he happens to be a good friend of mine, less than a couple of miles from here. I've telephoned him to expect us first thing in the morning.
You're certainly sure of yourself.
On the contrary, I'm frightened to death. Here... Feel my hand. See how it's shaking.
Why, it really is.
Fay, you wouldn't disappoint the bishop.
Arthur, you can be sweet when you want to.
I love you, Fay.
Yes, I think you do.
Think I do? Why, if you knew how I've been walking about in a fog, I cut my friends and greet my enemies. For breakfast, I read Omar Khayyam and Shelley in the House of Lords. I hear music in the streets and see flowers growing in the gutter. And I comb my hair continually. In fact, let's face it, I've got it worse than any man ever had it before. Oh, darling,
Faye, darling.
Please, please, you mustn't.
Faye, you love me too. You do. You couldn't kiss me like that if you didn't. Darling, we'll be married in the morning.
No, I'm afraid not.
But, Faye...
I don't know much about you, and you know too little about me. Now, if you don't mind, I'll go to my room.
Faye.
Charles, how did you get in my room?
Through the window. The ivy makes a perfect ladder, my dear.
Charles, you shouldn't have come until after I sent for you. Isn't safe.
Safe? What is safe at our job? Has she got the pearls here?
Yes.
Do you know where?
She showed them to me this afternoon. They're hidden in an old barometer on the wall.
You can get them, you think, huh?
Yes.
Good. Now, you know the plan we worked out. Bill and Anna will be waiting.
I'll raise the shade twice, then drop the pills out of the window. That'll be the end of it. And I'll be glad it is.
Say, what's the matter? Anything wrong?
Oh, everything's fine.
Look, if you still want to chuck it,
you
Faye...
You gave me a chance the other night. I didn't take it, did I?
I know. But something may have happened since then. Has it?
No. I'll get the pills tonight. I'll go through with it. Just be sure the rest of you are ready.
If you don't signal, I'll understand.
I'll signal, all right. Now, how are you going to get out of here?
Same way I got in, by way of the ivy. So good. Now, if I can just make the head...
You there. Just a minute, sir.
Oh, confound it.
What are you doing out here at this... Oh, it's you, Charles.
Good evening, my lord.
Aren't you a long way from home? What brings you to Eppley so late?
Cablegram, my lord, for Mrs. Cheney. Thinking it might be important, I took the liberty...
Why didn't you telephone?
Oh, that would have necessitated my opening the cablegram and reading it to Mrs. Cheney, my lord. Of course, that would be unthinkable.
Yes. Mm. Did you deliver it in person?
Mrs. Cheney is retired, sir. I gave it to the housekeeper. Good night, my lord.
Just a moment. How did you get up here, Charles?
On the train, my lord. There was a 9 o'clock local. I can catch the return at 1:55.
Well, perhaps I can get you a lift back to the station.
Oh, you're very kind, my lord, but I think I'll rather enjoy the walk.
6 miles?
Is it that much, sir? It seems so much less when I walked out here.
You know, it's funny, Charles. I've always had the feeling we've met somewhere before. Now you seem even more familiar with a hat on.
Oh, how careless of me, my lord. I should have taken it off immediately. Good night, sir, and thank you again.
That's a strange thing. Good-looking fellow, that Charles. All that poppycock about... Hello. This ivy's been torn away from the wall. Looks as though someone's been... just below her window, too. I wonder if...
Who is it? Who's down there?
Your own true love. Shall I prove it, darling?
Yes, by going away and letting me sleep.
Oh, how absurd. It's beautiful out here. Why don't you come down?
Do you suggest I jump or climb down the ivy?
The ivy seems the popular route tonight. Apparently someone's tried to climb up. It's all torn away from the wall.
Nonsense. Go in and go to bed, young man. You'll catch cold.
No, really, I'm sure someone has tried to climb this ivy.
And I'm sure they haven't.
Now, who do you suppose could have been under your window at this hour?
The man on the flying trapeze. Good night.
That's funny the way she turned me off. There's a lot of funny things going on tonight. That butler of hers weren't so attractive. Man on the flying trapeze, I don't think.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in a moment. Now... A word from Lady Esther.
I'm sure you have among your friends some woman whom you know to be no older than you. Yet she seems to appear older. Why? Because her skin is tired-looking, older-looking than she is. Skin specialists tell me this is common because most women's skin gathers a sticky, oily film. This hides the true beauty of your skin, makes it look tired. My treatment to clear your skin of that oily film is simply this. Pat on Lady Esther 4-Purpose Face Cream and wipe it off. Then immediately, this is the important part, immediately repeat. You will see the first creaming removes surface makeup and dirt, but it takes that second time to get at the sticky, oily film. Instantly, you feel and see the exciting, younger-looking difference, because Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream, by itself, does four things. It cleanses your skin, softens your skin, helps nature refine the pores, and leaves a perfect base for powder. It's a gentle, soft cream, so beautifying it needs no help from any other cream. Of course, if your skin already has a lovely, young, fresh look, you are fortunate indeed. If not, my treatment with Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream can do a great deal for you. Try it, and you will see the difference, not days or weeks later, but instantly. I'm sure you'll be happy over what your own eyes see.
Now, Lady Esther presents the second act of The Last of Mrs. Cheney, starring Alan Marshall, Nigel Bruce, Joan Fontaine, and Gerald Moore. Well, Arthur is definitely suspicious now, but moves with customary British caution. A little later that night, at 2:15, the door of Faye's room quietly opens and quietly closes. It's Faye, of course, and she has the Duchess's pearls in her hand. Twice she lowers and raises the shade. That's the signal for Charles. But as she starts to toss the pearls out the window, a hand grips her wrist in a quiet voice.
I'll take those, if you please. Thank you.
Well, I suppose that's that.
I dare say. All this business, Kelton, me, all part of the game.
Certainly.
I see. The job in hand was these pearls.
Yes. What makes you so suspicious?
I thought I recognized your... By the way, what is Charles to you? In his spare time, I mean.
A friend. A real friend.
Hmm? Cigarette?
Thanks. They're terribly nice.
I'll send you some.
That's sweet of you. I'll give you my address tomorrow. When I know it.
You're thinking of changing your present one?
I have an idea. You'll make it difficult for me to keep it.
You've made such utter fools of all of us, it seems a pity not to let you complete it.
It's been quite amusing.
Splendid. And we'll keep it that way. Amusing.
Why lock the door? What's the idea?
A positively brilliant one. Now, suppose we discuss, shall we call it my price?
Ah, I see. And so we revert to type.
We do indeed.
You know, as crooks go, there's a decided difference between you and Charles.
Really?
Yes, Charles robs with a charm of manner, and you rob with violence.
Ah, that's nicely put, very nicely put.
Now let's stop this nonsense. There's the night bell. Ring that alarm and tell them who I am. Or unlock that door and let me go.
You're hardly in a position to dictate terms.
That's what you think. If you don't ring that alarm, I'll ring it myself.
Now, Faye, why bluff? You wouldn't take the risk of 5 years in jail?
I wouldn't take the risk of 5 hours with you. Give me that key.
Ha ha!
Very well, then.
You fool. You little idiot.
I warned you, didn't I?
What will I say? What will I tell them?
You're very clever. Improvise.
Hey! I mean, Mrs. Cheney, what is it? What's wrong? Can I be of any help?
Lord Kelton, can you get my door unlocked?
What for? Haven't you got your key?
Lord Dilling refuses to let me have it.
Out of the way, all of you. I'm going to break down the door.
That won't be necessary. I'll open it.
Arthur, what's the meaning of this? Come, come, speak up.
Perhaps Lord Dilling would prefer that I tell you.
No. I got into this room on a false pretense. I humbly admit, I behaved like a cad.
Cad? You're the lowest thing I've ever known.
Arthur, I don't know what to say.
Unmitigated cad. Dilling, I hope every decent person will cut you dead.
They really should. Everyone. All except the insurance people. They ought to love him.
What do you mean?
My dear Duchess, I believe these belong to you.
Good heavens, my pearls.
Oh. What? She's fainted. Do something, someone. Turn off that alarm.
Rather ironic, isn't it, Faye? That they should leave me to guard you till Scotland Yard arrives?
Unfortunately, they didn't consult me in the matter.
You'd rather have had someone else, of course. Lord Kelton, perhaps.
I prefer not to discuss him.
No, there are other more important things. Naturally, no, I'm going to get you out of this.
And what will your price be this time?
Now, look here, I've simply got
to... All you've got to do is raise your hands, my lord.
Charles!
I say, how did you get in here?
The usual way, my lord. I climbed up.
Shouldn't do that, you know. It's bad for the ivy.
Charles, the gun won't be necessary.
Sorry. It just happened to be in my hand. Now, what's happened here?
I've bungled the whole thing. Lord Dilling caught me, quite cleverly. He put in a call for Scotland Yard.
I've been telling Mrs. Cheney. She's still got time.
I'm afraid I don't follow your position, my lord.
Look here. A little while ago, I acted like an appalling cad.
And he's been telling everybody ever since. He'll wind up with a halo.
I assure you, there's only one thing I want now. To get Mrs. Cheney out of here.
Charles, you've got to get away. I intend to stay.
My dear, if you stay, so do I.
Charles.
What would be the use of running? Knowing my connection with the thing, they'd hunt me down.
Look here, don't you realize you'll go to prison, both of you? Really, I can't allow this. I won't permit it.
Charles, do we want to be patronized?
Positively not, darling.
Very well, then. We stay.
They've been up there with that police inspector for almost an hour. Don't you think we should be hearing something?
I'd just as soon wait. I don't like anything to disturb my breakfast.
I still can't believe it. She was so sweet, so modest, so understanding. I'll have some eggs.
Well, thank heaven Arthur was here. He knows how to handle these things.
My dear aunt, I'm flattered.
Arthur?
I've done the very best I could. I persuaded the inspector it was all a mistake.
A mistake?
Look here, Dilling. You mean to say that...
I mean to say a mistake, my dear Kelton, mostly yours. I'm referring, of course, to a certain letter which you wrote and slipped under the lady's door last night. A proposal of marriage.
Francis, you didn't.
Afraid I did. Impetuous, you know.
Impetuous? Why, the motion picture rights alone are worth at least £10,000.
Francis, how could you write a thing like that?
New fountain pen I've got.
My dear Kelton, I've nothing against your proposing to the lady. Matter of fact, I was just one step behind you. But why, in a letter of such intimate nature, should you express your opinions of all your friends?
Francis!
Well, I thought that she was entitled to know. Dilling, did you see the letter?
Oh, yes. I found it most entertaining. Auntie, my dear, there's a paragraph about you. A certain romance of yours before you married the late Duke.
No.
Oh, yes. And Kitty, you're in it, too.
Oh.
Well, just her more recent indiscretions.
Kitty, Willie, Joan, all of us, we're all there. I just thought you'd like to know.
No? No what?
Well, if you prosecute Mrs. Cheney, and she enters the letter as evidence, perhaps she and her Charles will be condemned as criminals. But the rest of us will envy them the comparative purity of their reputations.
Arthur, what are we going to do with this woman?
My dear aunt, we should be more accurate. What's she going to do with us?
Arthur, you go straight upstairs. Have a talk with that inspector fellow. Tell him...
It was all a mistake?
Yes, that's it. It was all a mistake. Why, didn't you think of that before?
I did.
But just a moment, Dilling. What about the letter? If we are willing to forget about the pearls, the least she can do is to return my note.
She already has. I have it right here. Lord Kelton, with Mrs. Cheney's compliments.
Torn into 100 pieces. Now, there's a woman I like. I should have known I'm never wrong about people. Arthur, you tell her I insist that she stay.
Well, I'm sure she'd be very flattered, dear aunt, but I'm afraid the lady has other plans.
What?
I'll be more specific. After I've asked her. Charles really is gone. He got away, all right.
Oh, yes, the inspector gave him a lift to the station.
Well, then, Fay, a little unfinished business. You remember my mentioning a certain bishop, who fortunately happens to live close by?
Yes, I do.
Well, while you were changing your clothes this morning, I ran over there and had a bite of breakfast with him.
I imagine he was surprised to see you up at that hour.
Delightful old soul. So sympathetic. I told him of a little trouble I was in. He said, bring her here at 11. I'll fix it up for you.
What was he to fix?
That I could have breakfast with you every morning.
But I never eat breakfast.
I told him there was a possibility of that.
Did you tell him anything else?
That I love you?
I mean, did you tell him anything about me?
Everything. He said, hurry her over here. You will never get another like her.
Sounds like a darling. I'd like to meet him.
He asked us to be punctual.
He was so certain I'd come.
More certain than I am. He says you love me.
Why should he say that?
He has an idea that if you didn't, you'd never have rung that bell last night.
I'm sure I'd like him. Do you think he'd like me?
He'll adore you.
Do you?
Terribly. What's more important? Do you?
Much more than terribly.
Then, darling, in an hour you'll be Mrs. Arthur Dilling. And if I say it myself, that will be...
I'll say it. The last of Mrs. Cheney.
Thank you, Nigel Bruce, Alan Marshall, Gerald Moore, and Joan Fontaine for a delightful performance.
It was a pleasure to be here, Mr. Bradley. We know how much this radio program contributes to the Motion Picture Relief Fund in its country house, and we all feel it's a great privilege to share in that work. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Fontaine. Ladies, suppose a total stranger tried to guess your age. How old would he honestly think you are? Younger than your real age? Or because your skin looked tired, would he guess you older? I know this. Too many women have skin that looks too old. Because most women's skin gathers a sticky, oily film which hides the natural beauty. But I can tell you what to do to clear away that clouding film. First, you pat on Lady Esther four-purpose face cream and wipe it off. Second, and most important, immediately repeat. Again pat on my cream, again wipe it off. You'll notice surface makeup and dirt taken off by that first creaming. But the second application is the important one for that stubborn, oily film. My cream is so soft and gentle, you don't have to rub and massage it in. And experts do not advise rubbing and pulling at your skin, particularly around eyes, nostrils, and lips. No, Lady Esther four-purpose face cream itself does the work, not your fingers. And it does not need help from any other creams or lotions. This treatment of mine with Lady Esther four-purpose face cream is refreshing and quick. So are the results. The immediate difference. The new clear color. The new younger look. People will say, you know, you look younger every time I see you.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present This Love of Ours. It will star Merle Oberon and Joseph Cotton. Be sure to listen. The Last of Mrs. Cheney was produced and directed for Lady Esther by Bill Lawrence, adapted by Harry Cronman, and was presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Academy Award contender The Yearling, starring Gregory Peck and Jane Wyman. Joan Fontaine is currently working in the Sam Wood production, Ivy, for Universal International Pictures. Alan Marshall appeared through the courtesy of David O. Selznick, producer of Buell in the Sun. Nigel Bruce appeared through the courtesy of California Pictures and Kremel, sponsors of Sherlock Holmes. Gerald Moore will soon be seen in Seymour Nebenzahl's production, Heaven Only Knows. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Tonight's Lady Esther Screen Guild program is being heard by our servicemen and women overseas, through the worldwide shortwave and network facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you, and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.